Yesterday we did the Mishnah on Daf Yud Amud Beis. Now we'll start the Gemara. If you recall, according to the Mishnah, and this will be a little chazar from yesterday, we have three bedikos. And we have to see why Rabbi Yehuda would insist on three bedikos. One should be sufficient. The Chacham deny it. And they claim that one bedik is sufficient. And the Gemara then retracts. The Gemara says, let's backtrack. It's not that Rabbi Yehuda requires three bedikos. That's not so. The Torah doesn't require three bedikos. The focal point of the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim is the issue of when are the zmanim of bedika in event that I did not fulfill my chiyuv bedika in its right time. When is the right time for Bdikas Chametz?
Early
Dalit. So let's say he missed early Dalit. What would be his fallback position then?
Yom
Yidalit Shachris. Let's say he missed Yidalit Shachris. That would be, what would be his third possibility? So Rabbi Yehuda says, B'shas Habir. Correct? Now what happens beyond Shas Habir? So Rabbi Yehuda doesn't have another option beyond Shas Habir, where the Chachamim come along and they say no. There are other possibilities. B'toch HaMoed, and if you weren't Bodik B'toch HaMoed, you could be Bodik Li'achar HaMoed. So that's what the Gemara calls B'mikan V'yelech Kav Miflegim. That the Machlokas is what happens if you... Okay. Now we have to ask the question, so why does Rabbi Yehuda object to the possibility of going beyond Shas Habir? Shas Habir Rashi identifies with the sixth hour. That's what Chometz is also in Rabbanon. But beyond that, Rabbi Yehuda doesn't recognize the possibility of B'dikas Chometz, where the Chachom are very liberal. They say, okay, you missed the Shas Habir, you didn't do it during the sixth hour, you still have another option. Do it even beyond the sixth hour, even into the Isur Chometz D'oraisa. What bothers Rabbi Yehuda? So the Gemara says that Rabbi Yehuda has what? Has a gzeira, correct. Let's see Rabbi Yehuda's gzeira. So we're looking at the Gemara here on Daf Yud Amud Beis, and we're counting up from the bottom of the Daf three lines up. And the Gemara says, V'hocha b'hocha miflegi. Mar sovar mekami isura in. Rabbi Yehuda's of the opinion that before the Shas Isur you could implement bedika. Basar isure, once the Shas Isur bedika sets in. Lo. He objects to any bedika after the Shas HaIsur. Why? While he's doing the bedika and he's handling the chametz, what might happen? He'll pop the chametz into his mouth. Now, it seems from this sugya that at first glance, you know, they're just arguing whether the chacham are worried about Dilma Asilu Michlimine or not worried about Dilma Asilu Michlimine. And then we should probably do some sort of analysis of the psychological allurement of chametz and why would somebody tokedez bedika and start eating the chametz. Will he forget that it's Yontif? It's hard to believe that during Pesach one would forget that. And from the Gemara we're going to see we're not dealing just with chametz. The issue between Rabbi Yehuda and Chachamim about the Gzeira Dilmasi Lemichlemine goes way beyond the bounds of chametz. What we're going to see here is some sort of I guess you'd call it like an Av Malach with many toldos. We're talking about categories here. We're not talking about individual limited cases. We're not only dealing with chametz, but anything that could be similar to chametz. Rabbi Yehuda would take the position that we have to have an injunction of Gzeira because of Dilma Asi L'michle Mineh. So we're going to extrapolate from Rabbi Yehuda's Shita in chametz to other cases in Shas, whether it be Chadash, whether it be Hadlokas Snare on Shabbos, and a case we're going to have of Kshira on Shabbos, many different cases. The Rabbanan, on the other hand, they're not worried about Dilma Asi L'michle Mineh. And on the contrary, now we should extrapolate a certain principle, a certain category based on the Rabbanan Shita, that we don't institute such gzeiros. So what we're going to do now is we're going to try to see what cases are similar to chametz, and therefore we can begin to guess And imagine what Rabbi Yehuda would say about those cases, and what would the Rabbanan say about those cases. That's really what this sugya is all about. Now, Tosus Imlo Bodak, which we mentioned yesterday, Tosus says that Li'achar HaMoed Yivdok. According to Chacham Shita, we should make a bedik even after the Moed. Now, I understand that bedikas chametz makes sense, let's say, before the Moed, during the Moed, but what's bedikas chametz after the Moed? Well, what is that Iser? What's the nature of that Iser? So that's Machlokas Tanoim. We passing like Reb Shimon, it's only an Iser Derabanan. And Reb Shimon appears on Daf Chavchet. And there he says that there's no law in the Torah that prohibits Chavetz after Pesach. Bizmano Asur, but not Liachar Zmano. That's the sheet of whom? Rabbi Shimon. Or Rabbi Yehuda has a drasha from which he derives that there's an Iser Chavetz Doraisa even after Pesach, but we don't pass like Rabbi Yehuda. We pass like who? Rabbi Shimon. But even though on a Doraisa level Rabbi Shimon rejects the Iser Chavetz Lachar Pesach, he has an Iser Rabbanon Liachar Pesach. What does the Gemara call that? Take a look on Daf. Yeah, the Gemara has an interesting language. The Gemara on Daf Chav Tes, if you take a look, it's 15 lines down from the top of the page. Reb Shimon Knasa Kanis. Reb Shimon enjoins us from eating Chometz She'avol of a Pesach as a Knas, as a penalty. Yeah. Hoil, what is going to say? The offer Alei B'mal Yerob Ayimotze. So when we read the Gemara at face value, before we open up the Ritva, we get the distinct impression that under what conditions does Reb Shimon institute a Knas prohibiting you from eating Chometz Lachar Pesach? Only if what? Over your Vayirah Vayimatzeh. If there was no Vayirah Vayimatzeh, for example, there was Bittel or Bedika. Okay, I missed it, but it was Chometz Sheni Yedua. After Bedika, I'm not over Vayirah Vayimatzeh, which we discussed many times. Because then there's no reason to cancel him and tell him that he's enjoined from enjoying this Chometz.
Should we hold that by every lot that you're over, you would get him just a Knas?
No. Oh, excellent question. So why does Reb Shimon institute this knas dafka in the case of chametz? So before we see the Ritva, let's just see the language in Tosus. Tosus says the following. He says, Uliachar HaMoed Yivdok, why is he checking his house after the Moed? Kidei shal yisariv lo chametz shal isur b'shal heter v'yochlenu. So what kind of isur is Tosus worried about? Is he worried about achila? He's not worried about an Iser Bal Yerov Ayimotzeh, because even though Reb Shimon institutes a knas to prohibit us from chametz shavol of a Pesach, we don't extend the Iser Bal Yerov Ayimotzeh and ownership and possession of a chametz to chametz shavol of a Pesach. That far, we're not going to go with the knas. How far are we going to go with the knas? Iser achila, Iser no, but not Bal Yerov Vayimotzeh. Says Tosus, if that be the case, we can understand very well why Rashi rejects the possibility of a chiyuv bedika for chametz shavol of a Pesach. The Rashi la rotzel lefarish came with neshe pireish ba mishnah did bodkim shlo yaver v'bal Yerov. Rashi at the beginning of Masech the Pesachim says what? Speak loud enough. That the reason for what? For B'dika is to prevent you from violating Bayer Rabbi Matzah. There's no Bayer Rabbi Matzah on Chometz Shavuot of a Pesach. That far the Knas didn't go. So if B'dika, you follow, there's a whole string of logical equations here. According to Rashi, B'dika equals Shlo Yavrol Bayer Rabbi Matzah. Chometz Shavuot of a Pesach is not a violation of Bayer Rabbi Matzah. Therefore, there's no reason to have bedikah on Chometz Shavuot of Pesach. Clear?
According to Rashi.
That's according to Rashi. All this makes sense, and that's why Tosus says that Rashi got into a whole quadrum here about how to interpret the Mishnah of Liachar HaMoed. How could there be a bedikah Liachar HaMoed if bedikah is for Bayer Rabbi Matzah, and in Liachar HaMoed there is no Bayer Rabbi Matzah? But Tosus identifies the chiyuv bedikah at the beginning of Masechet Pesach with what? Not Shema Yavar al Bahir by Matzah, but Shema Yavar Yachlo. Who once is an Isra Achila, that ipso facto there should be a din of Bedika to get rid of that Chametz so you don't come to eat it. And that should apply even in Chametz Shalom of Pesach. So we finally come up with an afgemina between Rashi and Tosfos at the beginning of the Masechta. We really just, you know, we went from one Mishnah to the second Mishnah back to the first Mishnah. Now we understand what is going to be the afgemina between Rashi and Tosfos with regard to the nature of Bedika. If the nature of Bedika is Shalo Yavro Vayra Bayamatse, if I find you an Isra Chametz which is limited to Achila and it does not include Bali Rabbi Matze, then there would be no Bedika coin trash. But coin tells us the function, the purpose, goal of Bedika is to prevent you from what? Achila. Once I have an Isra Achila in that Chametz, then by definition it's included on Bedika. Okay, that's Tosfos. Comes along the Ran. And the Ran asks a bomb question. He says, I don't understand. We have a principle law of a Shas. Ein gozrin gzera l'gzera. The Rabbanu will make one fence, one gzera. They're not going to make a second fence to be marking you for the first fence. That far they don't go. Now, Chomet Shavu of a Pesach is the goal of Chomet Shavu of a Pesach according to Reb Shimon, because Reb Shimon, keep in mind, denies the lav of Chomet Lachar Zmano. So it's only the Rabbanan Halacha. And why did the Rabbanan institute this? What were they trying to accomplish by telling you that if you leave your chametz around over Pesach, you won't be able to enjoy it after Pesach? You know, crime pays off, doesn't it? Right? If you rob the bank, you make a lot of money if you succeed. But in this case, the criminal action of Rabbi Matzeh leaving over your chametz is not going to gain you anything. Because they're probably going to pull a fast one on you. They're going to tell you that you cannot eat this chametz or enjoy it after Pesach. So crime doesn't pay in this case. That's a zero derabon. That applies to make sure to ram it into the tzibur of Klal Yisrael. It doesn't pay to play around with Bahir Rabbi Matzeh. Don't leave your chametz around. You won't gain anything. We're going to institute a penalty, a knas, that's going to enjoin you from enjoying your chametz after Pesach. Don't even go that way. Nope, that's a zero derabon. So, on a Doraisa level, there's no reason why I can't eat this chametz, Shavu of a Pesach. Elo what? The Rabbanan tell me I shouldn't eat it. Okay, I won't eat it. Now you're going a step further, according to the Chachamim. What are you requiring, says Tosfos? Bedika. Bedika why? Shavu Yavo. Liachlo, what happens if I eat it in the worst case scenario? What did I violate? And he says, the Rabbanan, which is exeter because of chametz on Pesach. What do I have now, therefore? That's the Ran's kash. Beautiful kash of the Ran. You hear the cheshbon? Let's go over it one more time. The Ran is asking, what is the worst scenario, the worst case, if you eat this chametz of a Pesach? You violated Xerid Rabbanu, which is called the knas on Daf Chavtes of chametz of a Pesach. So we're going to institute bedika to prevent you from, heaven forbid, eating this chametz lachar Pesach. Well, what happens in the worst case scenario if you did eat the chametz shavu of a Pesach? You only violated Isra Rabbanan. So you're going to make a gzera required bedika to prevent the person as offense from violating what kind of Isra Rabbanan? No, that's called a gzera l'gzera. We're making a fence around the fence. So the Ran says an unbelievable chiddush. The Ran says, yeah?
Why, where does the rule come from of the Rabbanan over the Rabbanan?
You name a Masecht in Shas, and I will show you where it says Ain goes in Gzeru
Lixeru.
You never heard of it.
Yeah.
But hear the logic of it.
So
now you'll have to trust me that after Shir I'll give you a long list, or you can get the list from the Encyclopedia Talmudit, look up on the Gzeru, and there's a whole section called Ain goes in Gzeru Lixeru. He'll send you on a teal all over Shas. It could be fun. But what I want you to do now is assume that we're correct. You don't have a fence around the fence. You with me? If you don't have a fence around the fence, how do I justify the chiyuv bedika going to the chachamim in Tosfos' favorite reference of bedikas chomet shavu lava pesach? So the Ran says a chiddush. Listen to the Ran. The Ran says that when the Torah prohibits chametz, it's an entity called chametz. And it has a number of different features. It generates an Isra Achila. It generates an Isra Hanah. It generates a mitzvah of tashbisu. You've got to do bdika. These are all very unique features of chametz. Says the Ran, when the Rabbanon prohibit chametz, they duplicate the pattern of the Torah. They don't create a new Isur. It's not a new entity. It's the same old entity called chametz. It's a halachic category, which they expand and extend whenever they institute chametz derabanan. And therefore, it's a package deal. If the Rabbanon are saying that chametz shavuot ha-pesach, even according to Rav Shimon, is prohibited, albeit min rabbanan, then it has a shame chametz. And once I enter it into the category of chametz, what do I schlep along with it? A chiyuv bdika, because a chiyuv bdika is one of those characteristics of chametz that reflect the very essence of chametz. Basically, I think what the Ran is saying is that it would be unthinkable for the Rabbanan to split chametz and say, yeah, we're going to prohibit chametz, but without bdika, without all the features of bdika. How many people understand that Ran? I didn't raise my hand. I don't understand the Ran. Eli, you don't understand the Ran either?
No. Well, doesn't Rashi disagree with that though?
Oh, we'll get to Rashi, but can you accept the Ran? The Ran is trying to explain Tosfos Shita that the reason why there's a chiyuv b'dikar chomet shavu l'va Pesach, for going for Chachomer from Yehuda, is because Shem Yavul Yachlo. Shem Yavul Yachlo, even if I eat it, it's only Drabbanan. So they can institute b'dika? Says the Ran, yeah. They can institute b'dika. You know why? Because they schlep along the Shem Chometz. The Shem Chometz, which with all its dinim, is expanded now, mirabanan, through this gzera on Chometz Shavuot of a Pesach. I don't understand the Ran. What about Bal Yerov Bayim Motzei? Isn't Bal Yerov Bayim Motzei a feature of Chometz? Let's take a vote. Wait a minute. Gabriel, let's take a vote. Right, maybe you disagree with me. All in favor of the following conclusion, raise your hand. Bal Yerov Bayim Motzei is a feature of the Isur Chometz. Okay, three people raise their hands. The thing is that we won a unanimous decision because I was one of those three people. Okay. And what I'm suggesting to you is that if there's anything that's unique about Chometz in the universe of Halacha, it's Bal Yerov Bayim Motzei. If you ask me to identify the one kishkis of Chometz that makes Chometz unique in the face of the map, of all machalos asuras, and my answer to that question would be Bal Yerov Bayim Motzei. To have chametz without Bal Yerov Bayim Motzei is a problem. And this, by the way, is going to take us down a whole route about chametz nukshin, chametz al yedei tarobes, at the beginning of the third perek, elu overs, the gigantic machlokas between the Zeda and the Enikel, between Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam, about whether tarobes chametz and nuksha has Bal Yerov Bayim Motzei or not. But the bottom line is that logically, we tip the scale in favor of anyone who says that if the Shem Chometz applies, then Bal Yerov Bayim Motzei should apply. Is there Bal Yerov Bayim Motzei on Chometz Shavuot on Pesach? The answer is no. So according to the Ran's thesis, I'm in deep trouble. Because again, I'm splitting Chometz in a very strange way. I'm taking certain features of Chometz and other aspects of Chometz I'm leaving outside. I don't understand the Ran. That's why I would submit to you, Lefian Yisdait, and we'll see the Ritva has a different approach to explain this, to get us out of this maze. Thank God we have another approach here, so I'm not stuck with the Ran. It's not the only answer. It's not the only act in town, right? But I would have submitted to you that Chometz Sha'ovel of a Pesach is a new category. I would agree with the Ran that whenever the Rabbanim make Zeris, they will always extend the Shem Isur, but not in the case of Chometz Sha'ovel of a Pesach. The Chometz Shavuot HaPesach is a unique halacha. What's it called in the Gemara's language? A knas. Knas is different. Knas is not a normal, classical Shem Chometz. Knas means in certain dimensions of Chometz, whatever the Rabbanan see as a penalty, that you try to enjoy the benefit, you make a profit by violating Bal Yerov Bayim Motzei, Chacham are going to say, I can. We're not going to let it go by. We're not going to tolerate. So they asked Achila, and they even went as far as answering Hana, we don't want you to sell this chametz. You know, imagine you save over some hot dog buns, you know, and then you sell it at McDonald's, you know. There are people, by the way, Jewish people, who have shares in McDonald's. And it's a whole issue. Because you know what McDonald's sells? What? At least in Ohio, because that's where I got the Shiloh from. They sell Basar B'chol. And Basar B'chol is also Hanah. And this guy owns part of McDonald's, you know. Yeah. It's a big issue. But the heter is, it's a, whatever. It's a chesidish heter. No, nothing against chesidim. I love chesidim. Investments are, could be tough if the company is selling Surya. No, it's a tough business. You're gonna have to make a certain shtar. I mean, the chassidim work this out. They have a certain shtar that you sign that says that you get benefits from this, but you're not a shutuk from that. It's complicated. The Ritva has a different approach. Let's think about the Ritva's approach. The Ritva asks a different question. And I think maybe through the Ritva we can shed a light on this sugya. If you have the Ritva, I mean, you all saw the Ritva. It's the first of the Maamar Kamos. That I know you saw. Or do I? You all saw the Ritva. Tell Ellie you all saw the Ritva, please. Thank you. Why do we make a bedikah after Pesach? According to Chachamim, he's going like Tosfos. Mishum di aser b'hanah mishum chametz shavol av Pesach. V'chayov levaro kidesh lo yikashlu bo. Devadai michleflei chametz b'Pesach. Okay, there's a whole question about that line. Oh, the afal gav de mistama rabbanu k'Rav Shimon svirle al chachamim in our Mishnah here on Yudon Beis hold like the Rav Shimon on daf chav ches the chametz ain't awesome in a Torah right after Pesach chametz is not awesome in a Torah ella midr rabbanon the k'tani the Gemara says on daf chav tes hoil the over alav b'bal yirav b'yimotze. So he says the following. V'hacha lo avar ale. What is the premise of the Ritva in our Mishnah? Why does the Ritva assume that there's no avera of Bal Yirav Vayimotzei in our Mishnah? Can anybody guess what he's assuming? What? That's what he says. He did bittul. Well, look, our Mishnah doesn't say whether he did bittul or he didn't do bittul. So it's a sort of like an open enterprise. You can be free, freedom of choice. Laissez-faire. You want to say he did bittul? He did bittul. The Ritva assumes he did bittul. And we're going to have to figure this out, you know, work through this. Why does the Ritva assume that in our Mishnah he did bittul? But certainly, I have no objection if you want to assume in our Mishnah he did bittul. We already had a sugya that even a bodek tzok shivatel, so kolshkein, someone who didn't do bitika, he's probably done bitl. You know, we're not talking about a terrible guy. So if he did bitl, then what does he skirt? Bayurah, if he skirts Bayurah, Bayimotze, there's no what? No knas of what? Of Chametz Shavuot of Pesach?
Oh, yeah.
Fascinating. Krishna. His pirush, the avar. When the Gemara says on daf chav tes the avar al bal yirav vayimotzei, that's what it says in my Gemara, and Ritva has it too. Lav dafka. I love those lav dafkas. Don't you love those lav dafkas? You know, in the Rishonim, they just—it's like the Gemara is like silly putty. You know what I mean? You play with it. Kechomer viada yotzer. It's great. He says lav dafka. It's like really creative. Ella, hoil the roi laveral of the Balyarov Vayimotzei. What does that mean? Roi laveral of the Balyarov Vayimotzei?
In its essence, it is chametz, and it could have been over, and then yet
had he not done what?
Bittul.
But what we're looking at is chametz. So the Ritva reinterprets the sugya there, in light of our chachamim here.
Based on this,
I'll just finish my sentence. That when the Gemara says over there Adaf Chav Tes that he is enjoined from any pleasure, any benefits from Chavit Shavuot and Pesach because he violated Bal Yirav Vayimotzei, it means it was Roi. It was Chavit Shavuot and Pesach. Bittul, he says, will not protect you from Balyurova, from Chametz Shavuot of Pesach.
So, question. Is this referring to even if you already did a Bedika and then later after Pesach you found Chametz?
I don't know.
Because of Pesach,
no, I'm not sure.
If you go to a store based on the Ritva and I buy from a non-Jew Chametz, since if I would have owned it, I would have, it would have been over Balyurova.
Why Balyurova? Isn't that called Roy?
Exactly.
Right.
Is that not Roy for Balyurova Balyurova?
And wait a second, and if we would say that had you done Bdika, then there is, even the Ritva would agree that there's no Chametz Shavuot of Pesach, would that solve your problem, or that's a separate paragraph?
That would be similar, I think it would be similar, because this could say it's still a punishment for not doing Bdika. Meaning I did the Bittul, but I didn't do the Bdika I was supposed to do, and therefore anything that was left that I would have caught with Bdika, I can no longer eat.
But if there was no Chiyuv Bdika at all,
exactly.
Let's say it belonged to a guy, then even the Ritva would say it's not Roy. Roy has to be...
Because it was yours.
Yours. So you have the possession of a Jew. Ella, what, you did a Bdika? Well, yes and no. Maybe Bdika is a fulfillment of your maximum Chiyuv, but certainly Bittul is not fulfillment of your maximum Chiyuv. That's what Sholem is claiming, that the reason why you have something that's Roy Lavrol Balyurova Balyurova is because the Chachamim, when they instituted a Chiyuv Bdika, which you didn't fulfill, what they tagged on here is an Iser Balyurova Balyurova. So it's true that Balyurova Balyurova doesn't apply after Pesach, and it's even true that on a deraisa level you did not violate Balyurova Balyurova because you did Bittul, but nevertheless when the Chachamim instituted Bedika and you failed to come through and implement the Bedika, then the Chachamim is saying, you know what, you in a sense maintained possession over the Chametz. So the Bittul itself is not enough, because you still have, at least minarabbanan, a possession over the chametz. Ma'inaf kamina, you have a possession over the chametz, you're chayiv in bedika. The chayiv bedika, in a sense, extends the balyurova balyurova beyond bittul. You know, there's a world beyond bittul, and that world beyond bittul, although it's minarabbanan, engenders an atmosphere of balyurova balyurova, that makes it roi lavrol of the balyurova balyurova. And therefore, it's chametz shavuot of the Pesach. Okay, Rabbi, so let's see if we can now begin. This is the, I want to get now to the, what I call the toughest part of the sugya. Okay, and I'm really starting the sugya with a tefillah in my heart, because Hashem should help me. It's mamish, so complicated. This next piece of Gemara, pray for me, I'm telling you. So the Gemara says the following: Umi gazer Rabbi Yehuda Dilma Asi l'michel minei. Vatnan, Mishakarev HaOmer, Yotzim Umotzi Shuk Yushlaim Shem Aleim Kemach V'Koli. Okay, now let's leave Rameir out for a moment. Rameir says it's Shalom Baratzon Chachomim, and let's focus our attention on Yehuda, who says it's Baratzon Chachom. So whatever we see here in the Mishnah is not just describing a sad reality, the Mishnah is actually advocating in favor of this whole business. We need to get the Kemach and the Koli ready for the Yerushalayimites as soon as possible. And how are we going to do that if we wait until after the Omer is brought and all the Tvuah is just, you know, growing in the fields, and now what do we do? There's going to be a mad rush to cut down the Tvuah. And not only that, on Yom Tov you certainly can't cut down the Tvuah. On Chol HaMoed maybe with a little kvetch of a Dover Avod maybe you can cut down the Tvuah, but it's impossible to supply the people who came to Yerushalayim with what? With Kemach, Koli, and Caramel, if we don't start this process before Chadosh, the Omer. And if we start the process, as Rabbi Yehuda advocates, Ibaratzon Chachamim, earlier, before Tezayim B'Nisan, we have people who are being Oseik with what? What are they coming in contact with? Chadosh. And Rabbi Yehuda's fine with that. No, what about Dilma Asi? L'michle Minei? After all, Rabbi Yehuda holds in the case of chametz, we're not going to allow you to handle the chametz because you might come to eat it. Again, I'm not exactly sure about the metzius here, why the Gemara feels that there's an equation here between bedika and ktsira. Right? Because I think in the case of ktsira, we're not necessarily directly handling handling the crop. I don't know. Maybe in the, you know, maybe it's I'm used to the more advanced technology in aquaculture, where in agriculture, excuse me, where they have machines that do this
but
stuff.
But it's not edible at that stage. That's the issue.
Right. But even at the point that it's edible, what are the, you know, why is that, you know, why is that equated to chametz? I don't exactly understand the Gemara's havamina to equate chalash with chametz. Chametz, you're really handling it. I mean, and also, you could use a spoon and a feather. We used to get that from, you know, whatever, you know, different institutions. Yeah. They still have it. Usually came from Cleveland. I don't know. Narcotic came from Cleveland. Not the high school that you went to. I don't mean that.
I went to high school in Chicago, so probably
not. Oh, for sure not. Okay. Anyway. So you got the Bedigah kit in the mail. But still, okay, so the Gemara is... I have another problem. If you would compare Chametz to Chadash in terms of Chumras HaVera, where would the scale be tipped? Which is more Chavar? Chadash or Chametz? Both three-letter words would start with a Ches. Chametz. Chametz has an Iser. Achila plus an Iser. Ana plus a Chiyu. Kares plus an Iser. By your Mots. I mean, like, get the whole kit and caboodle here, the full 9 yards. You know, Chadash is an Iser lot. Okay, we mentioned yesterday that you get a kizai, for every kizai of chodesh that you eat, you get malchus. That's no laughing matter. But it's certainly not in the same scale as chametz. So I don't know exactly why the Gemara thinks that Rabbi Yehuda's position in chametz will twist his arm, will box him into a pre... You know, we could already predict what his conclusion is going to be about chodesh. Yesh lechalek. In many different ways there are differences. But the Gemara somehow is focused on the main principle of Rabbi Yehuda. And the main principle of Rabbi Yehuda is that we're lahut, we're excited about gzeiros. We want to make gzeiros. We're in the pro-gzeira mood. And we're worried about Dilma Asi L'michli Minei. Rabbi Yehuda did so in the case of Chametz. He should be very excited about adding gzeiros wherever he can because of Dilma Asi L'michli Minei. Chada should have been a case in point. And yet, that's the Gemara's message. Tosus is not happy. He's not a happy camper. Says Tosus. V'im Tomar, V'im came my Parach at the end of Avol, Dilma Hachashari Rabbi Yehuda. Why is Rabbi Yehuda Matir in the case of Chadosh? Mishum Pseida. Avol Gabi Chametz Gazrinon. Tosus says the following. Chachomim, when they are ready to institute a gzera, to enact a harkaka, they have to weigh the pros and the cons. There's a balancing act. What svara works against the gzera? We understand very well which svara works in favor of gzera. You might come to violate an isur. But on the other side, let's balance it with the downside of instituting a gzera, and that's called pseita. Why is there a pseida in the case of Chadosh? So Tosus says, because of the Ole Regel. Why are we so concerned about the Ole Regel? So then you may recall we had a sugya earlier, Adaf Ches, where the Torah was very eager to get the Ole Regel to come to Yerushalayim 3 times a year. And what did the Torah guarantee the Ole Regel?
It'll be okay.
They'll be okay, right? Everything will be taken care of. Don't worry about somebody coming in and raiding your possessions while you're gone. Rest assured for Ole Regel. So we're very eager to get the Ole Regel, to gravitationally pull the Ole Regel to Yerushalayim. Tosa says, if you're going to institute the Iser Chadash in this particular scenario, then there's going to be a Pseida for the Ole Regel. The Tosus says, in the case of Gedisha, it's not such a pseida. Fine. So certain things you could wait until after the ring. Ktsira, however, he says, if we postpone the Ktsira, that's going to be a serious hefset. Because some of the crops are going to rot in the fields. So we want to do this whole Ktsira with Koli and Kemach as soon as possible to avoid Pseita. Tosus says, I don't understand that. what's the balance here in the case of chametz? In chametz, there's no downside to instituting a bedikas chametz, correct? And the only downside is that maybe you'd come to eat the chametz. And who's worried about that through the bedikah you might come to eat the chametz? Rabbi Yehuda, correct? Rabbi Yehuda is the one who makes this gzera. Does everybody have that? So maybe in the case of Chadash, Rabbi Yehuda would also be on board, consistent with his shita, to institute a gzera, because you're handling the produce, you might come to eat it, but there's a counterbalancing fact. And what's the counterbalancing fact? Pseida. So again, we would have instituted gzera, this is Tosa's question, in the case of Chadash, to be consistent with the case of Chametz. Why did Rabbi Yehuda alleviate the gzera? Why did he prevent the gzera from going into effect in the case of Chadash? Because of Pseid. But in the case of Chametz, so what did we lose over here? We lost nothing. Tosa says no. The Gemara's Kasha is well founded. The Yesh Lomar, Mishum Mitzvahs Biur, Yesh Lahatir, Kimo Pseid. For the sake of Biur, there's also, in the case of Chametz, a Pseid Halacha. In other words, you're really forfeiting something by instituting this Gzera. What do you forfeit? The Mitzvah Biur. So from Yehuda's going to say that we're not going to fulfill the Mitzvah Biur because of the Gzera, then you see that in the balancing act between Gzera and Pseida, the Gzera beats out Pseida. In the case of Chametz, it's Pseida of Biur. In the case of Chadash, it's a Pseida of the Ktsira. That's going to get rotten in the fields. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda should have been consistent, and if he's willing in the case of Chadash to waive the Gzera for the benefit of the Pseida, to prevent Pseida, then he should have done the same thing for the benefit of foregoing the mitzvah biur. He should have waived the gzera of dilmasi lemichle v'dein chametz. And if, on the other hand, he's not concerned about Pseida, he's more concerned about the dilmasi lemichle v'dein, correct? Then why didn't he do the same thing? Why wasn't he consistent and follow through in the case of Chadash? And he should have instituted Gzeira there, despite the Pseid. That's the question of the Gemara, according to Tosis. Okay? So what's the Gemara's answer? Omar Rava, Shani Chadash, Bibeshlo, Hitartalo, El Al Yidei, Kituf, Uzachor. So in the case of Chadash, they were only matir Ktsira in a very strange way. What kind of Ktsira were they matir? Kituf, he's not going to come to eat it. Omale Abaye, Tenef Vishas Ktifa, Tchino Varkoda, Ma'ikol of Meimar. What about the process of converting the grains after they've been cut down into flour, which requires Tchino, grinding it in the mill? Or harkada, which is sifting, and then you use the sieve and you take out the psoles. There, he has no shinui, it's not changing the tzura, and therefore he's going to come to eat it. Holokasha, tchino bereichaya de yad. Perhaps what Rabbi Yehuda was satisfied with, and he allowed it, was a grinding, not with the mill, right, the water mill. Remember, the waters used to run the mills, but rather by hand. Harkod al yidei na al gav hanapa. He would turn the sieve upside down and do it in a way that's kilachar yad.
Why does that actually? Is it, are we talking? I don't know, but the whole point is that you're not going to come to eat it because you're doing it in a different manner
right
than you normally do.
Right. That's going to remind you if you're ever tempted.
I just don't see why you're going to be tempted if they can eat other food anyways.
Well, that's an interesting question. If you have a massive amount of food, maybe you wouldn't be tempted, but there are certain people who have a limited amount of food, or they're hungry, or workers, whatever it might be.
You're working in the field, you lose your money.
Yeah, you might. But if we tell you, under these circumstances, only under these controlled conditions, you're allowed to do tchina, harkada, and ktsira, then that'll remind you, so you shouldn't inadvertently start eating it. Yeah, but that the Gemara is not happy with this. Rava is taking us to a brick wall. There's no dead end street. Because Elohad is not Kotrin Beis Hashalchim Shabbat Mokim Avalo Gotrin who came to Rabbi Yehuda Michael and Meimar. Rava's answer will not to hold water here. Because in the case of Beis Hashalchim and Amokim, we're talking about Ktsira Kedarka. Rashi points out the word Ktsira means not Ktifa, but general, you know, the general, universal, classical Ktsira. And once again, there should be a Shema Yavo Liachla. And when you say Mishum Seder that he instituted, what about the Seder Biur? And yet he instituted the Gzeira of Yud in the case of Chametz. Elomar Abaye, Chadash Badal Minei, Chametz Lo Badal Minei. So, in a sense, Abai is saying, let's drop Rava's answer. There's no stira, there's no contradiction between Rav Yehuda and Rav Yehuda. In the case of Chadash, there's no need to be afraid of Dilma Asal in the Chlimine because he's Badal Mine. The whole year round, he's used to pushing away Chadash. He knows it's Asal. But Chametz, which is low Badili Mine, he eats Chametz the whole year round. That's where Rav Yehuda insists on instituting Gzera Dilma Asi Lemidah. Amar Rava, De Rav Yehuda Ad Rav Yehuda Kasha, De Rabbanan Ad Rabbanan Lo Kasha. And Rashi points out here that there's a stira here in the Rabbanan themselves. If we assume that if we identify Rabbi Meir on the top of the page with the Rabbanan, which Rashi gives us a whole spiel why we do that, so then Rabbanan are instituting a gzera in the case of Chadash, but we know in the case of Chametz they allowed the deacon to take place b'shas Yisur Chametz, and they didn't have any gzera. So you see that the Chachamim did not want to forgo b'dikas Chametz, because that would be a terrible loss. You know, we'd have to forgo the mitzvah of beer, as Tosus points out. And yet in the case of Chadash, they're not worried about the pseida if you prohibit gzera. And therefore, Shalom Ratzon Chachamim. So there seems to be inconsistency within the Rabban. So the Gemara says, "The Rabban Ad Rabban Nami Lo Kasha Hu Atzmo Machazer Olav L'Sarfo Meichel Kachel Minei." The case of B'dikas Chametz is a very exceptional case, and the Rabbanan feel that in that case there's no need for a gzera of Dilma Asul Michle Minei. He's not going to come to eat it because what's his purpose in doing this B'dika?
Yeah.
Search and
destroy.
And destroy. And the search and destroy mission, he's not going to come to eat. Correct? And now we have a question from the Or Chadash, and it's in the Prayer Shua. If you read carefully, the Gemara says, Rava says, Omar Rava, Rabbi Yehuda Kasha. Derabbanan lo kasha, which translates in the following way. If you're asking a question, Rabbi Yehuda, you find a contradiction between one statement of Rabbi Yehuda and the other, and that bothers you, and that's going to force you to give the answer of Abaye, Bedilimine, lo Bedilimine, then you should be consistent. And you should ask a question, Rabbanan ad Rabbanan. See, Achronim, he had gone to town. They don't understand. Why did the Gemara need this Arichus Lashon? Why did the Gemara have to say, oh, Rabbi Yehuda, Kasha, Rabbanan ad Rabbanan, Kasha? Why did the Gemara just ask the question itself? Why the need for this introduction? So I photocopied a few of the Or Chadash. It's the bottom, the major paragraph on the bottom left, if you could pass this around. And let's try to see how he weaves through this very complicated maze. And I was only able to get a hold of this right before Shia, so I apologize that I couldn't photocopy it earlier. Yeshla Dagbik, you have it? Mm-hmm. Just if everybody can tell me they have the place. Mm-hmm. Yeah, bottom left, the major paragraph. He could have shortened it. Akati kasha rabbanon ad rabbanon. This is what I call a real shatovna question. You know, if you read the Gemara meticulously, you know, with a fine tooth comb and a magnifying glass, you wonder why did he need this introduction here? Rabbi Yehuda ad Rabbi Yehuda, name rabbanon ad rabbanon. Fine, just ask the Rabbanan Ad Rabbanan. He already has an answer in his back pocket from Yehuda or Yehuda. So why did he feel compelled to introduce his question with Rabbi Yehuda or Rabbi Yehuda Kasha? Venerally. Okay, so underline those venerally because from now on until the end of this long paragraph, the Or Chadash, basing himself on an earlier Akron called the Torah Chaim, he's going to come up with a theory that's meant to explain the Lashon HaGemara. Dehina. Here I press the return button. Dehina. New paragraph. Hiksha Marshal Al Tosfos. Right, this is the Tosfos that we just learned. Dibra Maskel Avo. Shekosu the mitzvahs biur havik mo pseido. And if you were to institute the gzera of Rabbi Yehuda and forego on biur, because the dilmas was definitely, then on the downside of it, you gave up the mitzvah biur. That's like a pseido. That's like losing ktsira. You know, whether it's physical ktsira or the mitzvah biur, that's all equal according to Tosfos under the law of pseido. And that's exactly what justifies the Gemara's question of Rabbi Yehuda under Rabbi Yehuda. Because if you recall, Tosfos says, what was Gemara asking Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda? Maybe Rabbi Yehuda foregoes the Gzeira in the case of Chalash because of the Pseidah of the Gzeira. Tosfos says, no. He didn't do so in the case of the Pseidah of the Chalash because you lose the beer, and yet he insists on Gzeira Shem Yavul Yachlo. He should have done the same thing in the case of Chalash. That was Gemara's question. So you see that Tosfos is operating with the assumption that both Chametz and Chadash, if we institute the Gzeret Dumas, they come up with a Pseido. So the Marshal says, I don't understand that. In Cain, if that's the case, if that's what underlies the logic of the Gemara, in raising a stira between Rabbi Yehuda, my park, Rabbanan, Rabbanan, what's the stira between the Rabbanan, the Rabbanan? Dilma, Taima, the Rabbanan, Vimas, Nisim. Mishum Pseida. Why did the Rabbanan in our Mishnah forego the Gzera of Dilmasil Mikhlay and insist on the mitzvah of the Dika because they don't want to lose what say the mitzvah's beer? Is Mishum Hachi lo Gazur Dilma Asil Mikhlay? In other words, maybe the Chachamim are saying that once you have this element of Pseidah, maybe that Pseidah, according to the Rabbanan of Rabbi Yehuda, that outweighs, that trumps the Dilma Asil Mechlemine. We can't institute the Gzeira that we'd like to because the Pseidah is too awesome, it's too valuable, it's too weighty. But in the case of Chadash, the Rabbanan will institute the Gzeira despite the Pseidah of the Ktsira. Okay, so you'll leave, you might lose a little bit and then forfeit some of the Ktsira. But in the case of Chametz, we have such an important Pseidah, it's so valuable, we don't want to give up on the mitzvah biur. Maybe that's the reason why the Rabbanan forego the Gzeira of Dilmas and Mikhlani on Siston B'dik. The Tiretz HaGon, the Sefer Torah Schayim, the mitzvah's biur, what is mitzvah's biur? Masha Over Bali Ra Hudahava. Hudahavik Mok Pseidah. So the Torah Chaim identifies Pseida with the Avera of Bal Yirah Bayimotze. Okay, so keep that equation in mind. In Cain, Meikara Parach Shapir Ad Rav Yehuda, the Oser Livdok Afilu Yontif. Again, I want you to keep in mind whether or not there was Bittul here, right? Because he's identifying Pseida with what? With the Avera of Bal Yirah Bal Yimotzeh. So the Gemara now asks, wait a minute, Rabbi Yehuda, you're tying our hands behind our backs. Because of Dilmas and the Mikhle Mineh, you're not allowing us to do Bidika. Even on Yontif, when there's the real full blasted Isur of Bal Yirah Bal Yimotzeh, Dika Pseidah Shiyav Holy Day Bal Yirah. And yet you, Rabbi Yehuda, were willing to forego the Gzera of Dilmas Lemichlene for the sake of the Pseid of the Tvua in the Ktsira case of Chadash. So now you're being inconsistent. You, Rabbi Yehuda, are inconsistent. Why? Because there should be a Gzera of Dilmas Lemichlene in the case of Chadash, but you were willing to forego it for the sake of the Pseidah. Why not do the same in the case of Chametz? And why do you prohibit us from doing B'dik on Yantiv when there's a great Pseidah of the Avera of Bayur of Ayimatze? Vahashta, now we can answer the Barshal's question. Parich Rabbanon ad Rabbanon. Now we understand why the Rabbanon is a stira. Amashi hitiru livdog achar hamoed. Shehu achar pesach kidapirush hatosis. Okay, now we're going back to which tosis? Tosis on daf yudam and beis dibra maskel v'im, who insists that there's going to be a bedika after Pesach. For what purpose? Chametz she'avol of a Pesach, you shouldn't come to eat it. Besu leko bal yirah v'lo havi pseida. It seems that the Rabbanon are not impressed with the Dilma Asi l'michli minei, even when there is no pseida. So please make a note of this. On the scorecard, what is the case of chametz where there's no downside? If we would forego the bedika, we would not be in a pseida zone. That would be chametz liachar pesach, because chametz liachar pesach, since there's no ba'yira ba'yimotze, therefore there's no pseida. So if we would forego and forfeit the bedika, we would not be in any great loss situation. And yet the Rabbanan insist on bedika. What happened to the Shem Yavo Liachlo? So according to Rabbanan, there is no Shem Yavo Liachlo. So why in the case of Chadash is Rabbi Meir all upset about Ketzira and Kali and Gzera Shem Yavo Liachlo? That's the inconsistency. Urefi zeh miturat shapir arichas l'shon. Now based on all these premises, the Or Chadash is going to try to explain our Gemara. Why? Because the Bepashtus, unless we prove otherwise, lo kasha midi Rabbanan ad Rabbanan. The Gemara has no justification to find the stira between the Rabbanan and the Rabbanan. Because if the whole stira is because you neutralize the element of pseida because of bedikas chametz liachar zmano, he says, havan nino, we could say that liachar amoy de kamer rabbanon, that you misunderstood what the rabbanon had in mind when they said liachar amoy. And what does liachar amoy mean? Hainu toch ha-pesach. And if it's toch ha-pesach, then what factor now reemerges? Pseida. Why does Pseida reemerge? Again, in the case, again, we're equating, according to Taurus Chaim, equating Pseida with Bali Rabbi Matzah. In the case of Chometz Liachar Pesach, there is no Pseida. Why? Because there's no Bali Rabbi Matzah. Right? So that proves, which is the basis of the whole Kasher Rabbanon, the Rabbanon, that even when there's no Pseida, the Rabbanon are willing to forego the Gzeirat Dilmasi L'Michil Minei. But wait a second. How do you know such a thing? Maybe when the Rabbanan said that Liachar Moed needs Bedika, they're talking about a case where there is Pseida. Namely when? Rabbanan said, when would there be a Pseida? Tocha Moed. Okay, again, are you writing this down? Tocha Moed, there is a Pseida by Yerubba Yimotzah. If the Rabbanan, when they said Liachar Moed needs Bedika, are talking about Tocha Moed, right, who interprets it as referring to Tocha Moed? Rashi, because again, Rashi holds that there's no B'dika unless it's Bayur Rabbi Matzah. After Pesach, there's no Bayur Rabbi Matzah. So there is a possibility of interpreting, of misinterpreting, let's say, the Rabbanan as referring to a B'dika during the Moed. If there's B'dika during the Moed, what element emerges?
Then you
have Pseida, because you have Bayur Rabbi Matzah, and then there's no question of Rabbanan ad Rabbanan. The entire question of a stira the Rabbanan Rabbanan hinges upon the premise that the Rabbanan are talking liachar moed, meaning liachar pesach, where there is no element of pseida. But if it was during the moed that the Rabbanan are requiring bedika, there's pseida. And if there's pseida, then my parak rabbanan and rabbanan. You know, we're back to the Marshal's kasha. So to answer the Marshal's kasha, what underlies the theory between the rabbanan and the rabbanan, the Machshon's frame of reference?
The format.
We have to introduce the Toras Chaim, who says that seid only exists when there's bali rabbi yamotzei, and therefore if the rabbanan require b'dik lachar moed when there's no bali rabbi yamotzei, meaning there's no seida, then we don't understand how to square that with the rabbanan shita that we are afraid of dilma asi l'michlinei. We see that the rabbanan are not afraid of dilma asi l'michlinei from the case of chametz, and there's no seida factor to mitigate. But now that we're reinterpreting the rabbanan, and we're suggesting that according to Rabbanan, liakra moed means during the moed, and during the moed we have an issue of what? By what? Say therefore pseido. Then the whole kasha of the stira between Rabbanan and Rabbanan is gone. Correct. The havik mo pseido. Umishum haki tira Rabbanan. That's why the Rabbanan overlook the zereshem and dilmas and vichle, because it's counterbalanced by the pseido by Rabbanan. So therefore the whole question of Rabbanan and Rabbanan falls off, as the Marshal points out. So again, if we reinterpret the Chachamim that Toch HaMoed means during Pesach, then there's no Kasha Rabbanan and Rabbanan, which is exactly what the Marshal's point of view was. Oh, he says, L'zeh Hikdim. Therefore Rava starts by introducing his question, V'yomar, V'Rabbi Yehuda Kasha. You've already asked the question of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yehuda. Oh, if you ask the question of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yehuda, then you must be holding like Tosfos, that the Machshon holds that there's a mitzvah of beer, namely Pseida, and if we don't understand why Rabbi Yehuda overlooks the pseida and is willing to forego on that pseida of Averis Bali Rabbi Mutz for the Dilmas and the Michlinei, and he didn't do the same thing in the case of Chadash. In the case of Chadash, he did not institute. He was matir, having your handling the Issa. The Kasha, Dilma Maisi Masnisin, Kishabita. How do you know that Rabbi Yehuda B'chlal has an element of Pseido, which is the cornerstone of the Gemara's Kasha, the Machshon's Kasha, Rabbi Yehuda? Maybe the Mishnah is talking about a case, Kisha Bitel, V'shub Lekha Bal Yeroa, V'lo Avi V'dika Kiyim Dilmas L'michlinei, V'zelo Avi Pseido, L'sfaras HaTorah's Chaim. V'tzarech Lomar, D'hoya L'machshon, Hochacha, the Machshon had some proof in his back pocket, D'masnis and Mayri B'shalo Bitel. And therefore he felt that there was a pseida in the case of Rabbi Yehuda now Mishnah. And what was the reason that what brought the Machshon to the conclusion that our Mishnah is talking about a case of Shalom Bitel? Again, this is the exact opposite of the Ritva, keep in mind, that we discussed earlier today. He says, the Imlokeh, if it wasn't a case before Bittel, right, where there's no Bittel, is my time in the Rabbanon, the Yivdok, Achara Pesach, Sheva Yovo Lemechel Mine, Haksha Bittel Lo Avar Bal Yiron, Velo Konisbe, Rabbi Shimon, Moshe Kasavnu. So that's what we said, that if there's a Knas of Rabbi Shimon, that Knas of Rabbi Shimon could not apply after Bittel, like the Ritva's Kasha. So we're assuming that that's absolutely correct. Is Mimela, we have to assume, based on the fact that there is a Bedika Liachra Pesach, then we're talking about a case of Lobitel. Haksha Bitel Lo Avar Al Pai Rabbi Yos Konos Rab Shimon. Vekasha Dilbo Liachra Moed Rabbanan Hainu Tocha Pesach. B'tzorach lomad, the Sri Lila Machshon, Liachra Moed Rabbanan, Hainu Achra Pesach, Mikoa Kusha Satosus B'mishnah, Im Kein Lefi Zeh, Kasha Drabbanan, Drabbanan, Nami V'korovu. Okay, so let's see if we can put this together. He's saying the following, that we have to conclude in our Mishnah that we're talking about a case of lo bitla. Okay? And that would give us Pseida in the Torah Chaim's frame of reference of Bal Yerah Bal Yemotz. How do we know that the Mishnah is talking about a case of lo bitlo? Because otherwise there would be no violation of Chametz Sha'avol ala Pesach if there was bitlo. And therefore the Bedika of Shemel Yovel Yachlo on Chametz Sha'avol ala Pesach would make no sense. So the whole concept of Bedika Liachar Pesach is predicated on the assumption that there was no bitl. And if there was no bitl, then we're talking about a case of Pseida. And if we're talking about a case of Pseida, the Rabbanon have a stira now, Rabbanon ad Rabbanon. So let's see it again inside, just to make sure we have it. Like I said, we mentioned the Ritva. The Ritva holds that even if we're talking about Bittul, because he has a Chiddush, that Chametz Shavuot Pesach applies as long as there's Chametz, which lends itself to Bal Yerah Bal Yemotz. Correct? Yeah. That was the Ritva's Chiddush. No. The Ritva wants to say that there's Chametz Shavuot Pesach, even if there was Bittul, because the Chametz lends itself to Bal Yerah Bal Yemotz. But let's leave out the Ritva, because again, I think it's just going to fluke us up here. Let's assume, the way we always assume before the Ritva, and even after the Ritva, that the Knas of Rav Shimon of Chametz Shavuot Pesach only applies when there was no Bittul. Bittul would certainly cover you and protect you from the Easter of Chametz Shavuot Pesach. If the Rabbanan, therefore, are assuming that you need Bedika to get rid of your Chametz Shavuot Pesach because of Dilma Asi L'michlim Yimei, and that's the purpose of the Bedika, then we must be assuming that there was no Bittul. Okay? Now keep that in mind, because if there's no Bittul, then we can activate the Torah Chaim's definition of Pseida, and we can justify the Gemara's question of Rabbanan ad Rabbanan and answer the Marshal's question. He says, V'kasha, my parich al Rabbi Yehuda. What was the Gemara's question on Rabbi Yehuda? Dilma taima de Rabbi Yehuda gabi chadash mishum Pseida. B'tzar kolomik yetir tzat tosfis de sfir lele makshin the mitzvah's biur havi kmo Pseida de yavro b'ayirah. The kasha, right? So again, let's just underline those words. So he's saying that in the case of the stira, the makshin of Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda, maybe Rabbi Yehuda is talking about a case where there was bittul, and if there was bittul, there's no pseida. So Kolam Ketir Tatosu Sivil Amakshin the Mitzvah Bir Havi Kmo Pseida the Avral Bayirah. So it must be that there was no Bittul. Right? So Chlomar the Amakshon Ochacha the Masnisen Mairi Bishlo Bittul. And what was the Makshon's Raya that there was no Bittul? From the fact that the Rabbanan instituted a Bedika on Chametz Shavuot Pesach. That would certainly prove that what? That there was no Bittul. You have that? So now, you see, now that we've proven from Rabbi Yehuda Kasha, that the Makshon held that we're talking about a case where there was no Bittul. And therefore, this Pseida, because it's Bal Yerah Bal Yemotz, and that's why the Rabbanan have Bedika Liachar Pesach. Now, how did the Makshon know? That's the Archadish's point. Are you listening? Yoshua, if you didn't follow till now, you can tune in for the next, how many minutes do we have? 5-6 minutes, and you'll get the whole Cheshbon. You want to try that? Try your best. I'm saying like this. The Makshon asked the Stira between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yehuda. And Tosfos says that question, equating Chametz with Chadash, is based on the premise that in both cases, they have to be equal to it to ask a Stira, in both cases there's Pseida. And yet Rabbi Yehuda is inconsistent. Sometimes he overlooks the Pseida and insists on the Gzeira Dilmasi L'michlamineh, despite the Pseida, he's willing to swallow the pill of the Pseida. And sometimes he's saying that because of Pseida, I'm going to forego the Gzeira. So that's the stira of Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda. But if Tosus is right, that Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda is a stira because in the case of Chometz, there's a pseida. And again, keep in mind that pseida means Bali Rabbi Matzeh. Then are we talking before Bittul or after Bittul?
Before Bittul.
We have to be talking before Bittul. So the Makshon, in his very question, operates with an underlining premise that there was no Bittul. So now the Aruch Chodesh asks, who forced the Makshon into that position? Why should the Makshon insist that there was no Bittul and then ask the question? It doesn't say in our Mishnah that there was no Bittul. Which little birdie whispered into the other Makshon that our Mishnah is talking when there was no Bittul? Who revealed that secret? The answer is because the Makshon read our Mishnah in a very particular way. He read our Mishnah saying that when the Chachamim require Bedika, they require Bedika on Chomet She'ovo Lov HaPesach. That Liachra Moed means after the Moed, literally, which we saw already in Tosfos Daf Yudam and Beis. And why did the Rabbanan insist on Bedika for after the Pesach? Because there must be an Isur of Chomet She'ovo Lov HaPesach. If there's an Isur of Chomet She'ovo Lov HaPesach, there must be an assumption that there was no Bittul. Because if there was Bittul, there would be no Isur of Chomet She'ovo Lov HaPesach. So therefore the Makshon, when he asked the question of Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda, he was assuming that there was no Bittul in our Mishnah. Ah, says Rava, if that's your premise, because you read the Mishnah as referring to Chomet She'ovo Lov HaPesach literally, then you have a kasha to ask on the Rabbanan and the Rabbanan. Why? Because in the case of Chomet She'ovo Lov HaPesach, the Rabbanan insist on Bedika, even though there's no what? There's no Pseida. No. Right? Even though, right, there's no pseida, because you know, if we would forego bedika liachra pesach, there would be no violation of Bali Rabbi Matzah. There's no Bali Rabbi Matzah on Chomet She'ovo Pesach. So even if you didn't do bedika, you would not lose the Bali Rabbi Matzah. Again, that we're operating always with the premise of the Toras Chaim that pseida equals averis Bali Rabbi Matzah. Oh, now the Gemara has a question. The Rabbanon and the Rabbanon. Lo kasha? You didn't ask a steer from the Rabbanon and the Rabbanon? You see the Rabbanon, even when there's no pseido, will not be interested in a gzera. They don't, on their radar screen, they don't have the gzera that bedika might lead to achila. So why were they objecting to the gzera and the keli and so forth in the case of Chadash? In the case of Chadash, they were operating with the assumption of Dil Maasi Lemichli Minei, and that's reflected in the sheet of Rameir of Shalo Baratzon Chachamim. And yet, in the case of Chometz, what happened to the Dil Maasi Lemichli Minei? The Rabbanan insists, do your Bedika. I will say, like the Marshal, but maybe the Rabbanan, in the case of Chometz, are insisting on Bedika because the Pseida, well, Pseida equals Bali Rabbi Matzeh. There's no Bali Rabbi Matzeh in the Bedika of Chomet She'ovo Lov HaPesach, because Chomet She'ovo Lov HaPesach has no Avera of Bali Rabbi Matzeh. How did the Makshon know that we're talking about a situation of Liachar Bittul? Maybe that's not the way we should interpret the Mishnah. How do we know Bechlal that the Makshon, how did the Makshon know Bechlal that when the Rabbanon in our Mishnah require Bedika Liachar HaMoed, that they're talking about after Pesach? Maybe we'll interpret it like Rashi interprets the Mishnah, that Liachar HaMoed means before the Moed, but Lachash has Biur. The answer is because you asked the Kasha of Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda. The premise of your Kasha of Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda was based on the interpretation of the Rabbanon in our Mishnah as referring to Liachar Pesach Mamish. Correct? Because that was your proof that we're talking about a case where there was no Bittul. And how do you know that there was no Bittul? Because otherwise you could not fathom the Rabbanan's insistence on Bedika Lachar Pesach. It must be that there was no Bittul. And therefore, since there was no Bittul, you came to the conclusion that Rabbi Yehuda is willing to insist on gzeira shem yavo liachlo and forego bidika even at the sake of pseida. Why didn't he do the same thing consistently in the case of chadash, where there's also pseida, and he should have been willing to say, I don't care about the pseida. What I care about, I'm focused on, is dilma silamichli mine. And yet, Rabbi Yehuda was v'ratzel chachamim. So everything calculates beautifully that the kasha of Rabbanan ad Rabbanan is predicated on the kasha of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yehuda. Once we establish that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yehuda kasha, then and only then can we understand the Rabbanan ad Rabbanan kasha. Because otherwise we have the Marshal's point that maybe Rabbanan ad Rabbanan lo kasha, because the Rabbanan in the case of Chametz are operating with Pseida. The answer is no. Because the Rabbanan are talking about Chametz Shavuot of a Pesach. In Chametz Shavuot of a Pesach, there is no Avera of Bali Rabbi Matzi, and therefore there's no Pseida. That's what justifies the question of Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda. But how did you know, Mr. Makshin, that the Rabbanan, when they said Liachar Amoy, they were referring to Liachar Pesach? Maybe Rashi is correct. The answer is that I understood from your Kasha. By you as this Kasha, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda Kasha. Which forced you into the position of B'dili B'nei and Lo B'dili B'nei. So you obviously were operating with the assumption that our Mishnah is talking about a case of Chametz B'li Bittel. How did he know it was Chametz B'li Bittel? Because otherwise Rabbi Yehuda, the Chachamim's B'dik of Chametz Shalom B'Pesach makes no sense. No, if you're talking about B'li Bittel, then Rabbi Yehuda is talking about a case of the Ikah Pseida, because Pseida equals Bali Rabbi Matzah, there's no Bittel, and that's the basis that underlies your kasha of Rabbi Yehuda, the Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, Rabbi, so if you can, go over this. It's a beautiful string. It's more Polish attire than, you know, I'm used to brisk, but it's a very interesting calculation where, you know, you have to get the mathematics into the Chagadya. Every premise is based on a certain assumption.
Okay.